From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. It's an unusual USDA report day, so we'll take a little extra time with them. And then we'll go back today to recap the four primary crop insurance decision points U of I Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke discussed with us last week. And we'll tag along today with the NCI 103 class. They visited the Illinois Dairy Farm last week and learned how to put a halter on a calf. Animal scientist Walt Hurley will tell us there are some very good educational reasons why that happens during today's edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Near the way the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures like this in the wheat pit nearby March contract was down 7¾ cents at $4.70¾. The May at 481½, down 8. And July wheat at $4.94½, down 7¾. July in Kansas City for the hard red at $5.01¾, down 6½ cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, $3.55½, the final trade on the day in the nearby March, 3¼ lower. May at 365½, down 3½. July at 376½, down 3½. And September futures at 385½, down 3¼. December corn at $3.94¾, down 2¼. March soybean futures 10½ cents the gain at $9.52. May at 9.58, up 10½. July at 965½, 9½ cents higher. The August at 962½, up 9½. And September soybean futures at 947¼, up 8¾. The nearby, or new crop rather, November contract in the bean pit finished at 935¼, up 7¾. Bean meal futures at 258.70. Finished 30 cents higher. The bean oil in the March at 40.69, up 72. April live cattle futures, 93.87½, 52½ cents lower. The June there at 91.72½, down 60. March feeders at $102, down 35 cents. The April's at 105.25, a buck lower. April lean hogs at $72.55, finished 15 cents higher. And the May contract at $78.05. A gain of 12½ cents on this Wednesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $81.97 a barrel, up 48 cents. May at $82.30, up 44. April ethanol unchanged at $1.61½. The May futures there at $1.62 8 cents, down 0.3 cents. April natural gas at $4.56 3 cents, up 4 7 cents. The RBOB at $2.28 2 cents, up 2 1/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.11 4 cents, 2 4 cents higher. And gold futures, a settlement price down $14.20 an ounce at $1,107.80. The Dow now at 10,579 is just about 16 points higher. The dollar at 80.44 is down 0.14. And the CRB index, or the Commodity Research Bureau index, at 274.62 is down 0.17 for the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs up 1.86 at 527.02. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like as prepared by our own Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist. He says today, yet in the north, cloudy, a few scattered showers in central sections, a mix of clouds, some hazy sunshine, and then tonight in west central and southern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some rain, a bit of thunderstorm arriving after midnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy and mild. Lows will range from 42 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 54 in the far south, says Ed. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, widespread showers, some thunderstorms with locally heavy rainfall possible. Highs will range from 50 near Lake Michigan to 68 in the far south. The extended forecast says it'll be quiet, mild weather expected today at least. Widespread rain and thunderstorms will move through Illinois and Indiana tomorrow. Most areas will receive at least 1/2 inch of rain. Several locations probably will pick up more than a full inch in local downpours. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon report day from the United States Department of Agriculture. On the line to help us take a look at those reports and what happened in Chicago is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a great event yesterday at the Beef House. Thank you for joining in.
Well, it was a treat, and it's always fun to see a lot of our loyal listeners and traders, and it was a nice day, and hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
I'm sure they did, and if you, as a listener, weren't able to be there and you'd like to hear some of what happened, actually all of what happened, you'll be able to do that by the end of the week. It'll be posted to our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org. Just keep visiting back and you'll find it there on the website sometime before the end of this week. Dave Dickey, Director of Agriculture Programming here at the radio station, working hard on that. USDA report numbers this morning were released, and they now say, Paul Cooley, that in the United States, we raised a 13.13 billion bushel corn crop. That's down slightly from the 13.15. Yield at 164.9 was reduced from the 165.2. What did you think of those numbers when you saw them?
Well, focusing on corn, this great state of Illinois dropped one bushel to the acre. Michigan was unchanged. Minnesota, two bushels to the acre better, and they had snow on the ground. And Wisconsin had a five bushel to the acre increase. I really thought from our Iowa sources that the Iowa corn crop was better. And, of course, our being a native son in the great state of Illinois, we do know that the crop was variable. And we'll take their word that it was a bushel to the acre less in the state. I think it's interesting, the numbers, and, it's the best guess as of today.
Best guess as of today. I take it that while you thought Iowa's number would be better, that you're not going to argue too much with the Wisconsin and Minnesota numbers, despite the fact they've got snow on the ground?
No. When I call those geographic areas, a lot of them got it harvested.
All right, so they got it harvested better than what they had expected, and those are the numbers that came out for the corn pit for the day. Does it really change very much in your mind?
Yes, it does. It's a big difference. Just for example, the 80 million bushels bigger corn production, a carryover rather, to 1799. The world corn production up 6 million tons.
Right, metric
and,
tons.
6 million metric tons. And bigger wheat carryover in the world. And Think Tank and Forma, they basically come out with what the government says, and they even think it's 100 million more than that, and they base it on they feel the government still doesn't have the exports right. In other words, the exports will be cut another 50 million bushels. And the other area that they feel is a major problem is feed usage. They think feed usage is too big.
And the feed usage is too big. So recapping the numbers, the other numbers that you went through, and these are all for corn, ending stocks now. In February was a 1.719 billion bushel carryover, up 80 million, as you said, to a 1.799 billion. That for the United States. And on the global ending stocks figure, production, let's see, where is that number? Ending
it's
stocks figure is 140.15 billion. And it was 145 million metric tons, that is, and it was a 146.4. Now that's what it is. So it was up about, You're right, 6 million metric tons at this point. I got those numbers backwards, but you get the idea.
And on the noon update, Ag Resources thinks that because the Argentine corn crop is record, it's highly likely that WASD will increase the Argentine corn crop as well.
Okay, so yesterday we learned that a whole lot of folks, and I don't think this is anything really new, but we learned for sure that a whole lot of folks have corn still in storage. What are they going to do with the old crop faced with bigger numbers for carryout and ending stocks on the global and the national level?
Well, it helps if they do have storage. And, you know, our panel of three big farmers, basically use grain storage as a major part of their success story. You know, they have to have capital, they have to have grain storage, and, of course, they put a big emphasis on marketing just as much as production agriculture. Okay, what are we going to do with a ton of old crop corn out here? A couple of suggestions. Of course, you got to maintain the quality. That's rule number one. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. The second thing you have to do is you have to take advantage of the carry. The grain elevator panel basically talked about it's a tremendous tool to take advantage of that. And, of course, the other people talk about the opportunities of taking advantage of that carry by locking in deferred futures, selling out-of-the-money calls, protecting yourself if you do feel that the price levels are going to go down. But the big factor is that you have to do something, and with this kind of a roadmap that we have in front of them, it's not going to be a very nice outlook for corn. Now, is something magical going to come across the horizon? Not that I see right this minute.
All right, so let's go through the numbers then for the soybeans as they came out. A 3.359 billion bushel crop last year compared to the 3.361, so down slightly. Yield at, for the beans, let's see, a 44 bushel yield, and that is unchanged from USDA. Any other numbers pop out at you?
Well, let's go over some of the state changes. Georgia came in with 3 bushels to the acre bigger. North Carolina unchanged. South Carolina 2.5 bushels less. And Virginia unchanged. And the other thing that I think it's interesting is of course, the carryover came in at 190, which is 20 million bushels less.
Right
before the 7th. You know, the 7/15 deal, the bean market rallied. And, of course, we always wonder why. But the one factor, of course, is the bean basis, improved at the Gulf. They say 12 cents a bushel. And it means that, we're going to ship a few more beans out. And, of course, I think that was basically the reason we saw the dynamic rally today in the beans. The other thing that we do have to talk about is the Brazilian bean crop up a million tons. We also saw and they came in with the Argentine bean crop, and Bassey Ag Resources thinks that there is room for at least 2 to 3 million more million tons bigger in the Argentine soybean crop. The other factor is the world production of beans is almost a million tons larger, on the report. So somewhere along the line, whenever they raise wheat, corn, and soybeans, it means that the world producers are doing a pretty good job of producing corn, wheat, and soybeans in the world.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
being with us. Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. Two notes. You can get most, if not all, of what we had to say and talk about at yesterday's All-Day Ag Outlook meeting off our website. It'll be posted by the end of the week at willag.org. And tonight, if you're in the area of Lincoln, Illinois, in Logan County, at the Rural Fire Protection District building, which is near Old 66 in the tropics there, at 7 o'clock, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and Gary Schnitke will be there along with myself for one of our Ag Outlook panels. That's free over at the Lincoln, Illinois Rural Protection Fire Protection District. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Bates Commodities, the Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investments, and L&M Commodities. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Well, farmers in the Midwest have until the 15th of this month to make up their crop insurance decisions. I'll have a list of four criteria the ag economists at Illinois say producers should use to evaluate the different products. The Farm Doc team at the University of Illinois spends a lot of time working on crop insurance. The Ag Economists have developed spreadsheets and calculators and written papers and even worked behind the scenes to make the programs work properly. That is to say, Illinois' Farm Doc team has a really good understanding of the federal crop insurance programs. Team member and farm management specialist Gary Schnitke offers up four criteria he thinks producers should consider.
The first is whether you want to emphasize yield protection or price protection. And if you want to emphasize yield protection, go the CRC route because it has farm-level yields trigger the payments and it has replant and prevented planting provisions. On the other hand, if you want to emphasize price protection, go the GRIP route. And there's a couple reasons why GRIP provides better protection than CRC. One is that you can buy it at a 90% coverage level, and that 90 versus 85% is pretty important. And the second reason is because GRIP uses an expected yield that doesn't lag that what's expected, while CRC will use an APH yield that does lag. So that's the first criteria. Price protection, go GRIP. Yield protection, go CRC. The second one is, does your APH yield really lag what you expect to get on the farm? And we expect APH yields, given a 10-year yield history, to lag by 10 bushels. Some farms have much, much, much higher than that. And if it really lags, you're almost pushed to a GRIP route because you will never trigger payments under the CRC route. The third is, does your farm track the county yield? If your farm yields track the county yields, you're more likely to choose GRIP than CRC. And the fourth criteria is a new one this year, and that is, what's the GRIP premium in your county? And we see $20 differences in GRIP premiums between adjacent counties, so you really have to look at that.
The FarmDoc website is a good place to start the crop insurance decision process. It includes premium calculators, a crop insurance evaluator, and downloadable Excel spreadsheets. The federal crop insurance decision is due to be made for spring-planted crops by the 15th of March. The FarmDoc website address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Up next, there are fewer farm kids to fill the animal sciences classes at the University of Illinois and all across the nation, but that doesn't mean they're not full. It just means, as you'll hear, a few extra introductory classes are needed to round out their academic work. Animal Sciences 103 at the University of Illinois is a pretty interesting class for most students. Its official title is Animal Handling, but technically it's all about working with large farm animals. It is not something most of the students in the class have ever done, says their professor, Walt Hurley.
In animal sciences, we have about 75-80% female because they all want to go to vet school. That's where they're heading. So that's not unusual to have one or two in a group like this, one or two males in the group.
Are they
like
all
this.
From farm background? Or you got to
no, essentially none of them. Well, relatively few of them are, very few of them are. Maybe 10-15% of our students are from an animal farm.
Female or male makes not much difference, but not coming from an animal farm sure does. It makes for some interesting times at Illinois and a very steep learning curve for the students.
This is their second time on the dairy. So they go through a rotation of three farms. This particular group, for example, last week was at the swine farm, one of the swine farms here this week, and next week they'll go to sheep farm, and then they'll start all over again that rotation. So they've been on several farms, so this is the second time they've been here. So last time they were here, they were out here milking cows by hand and leading cows, so there's a real steep learning curve.
Most of these pre-vet students do not want to become large animal veterinarians. They'd prefer to work with companion animals during their career, but attending the University of Illinois as an animal sciences student gives them useful experience when applying to the U of I's College of Veterinary Medicine.
A lot of the courses we teach are large animals. They relate to large animals as part of them. We also have companion animal courses and other kinds like that, but most of the content of most of the courses we teach that they're taking in animal sciences is related to, or at least we use examples from, large animals. So they come from backgrounds where they don't know what they are. They don't know what these animals are, and so this gives them just a very rudimentary exposure directly to the animals.
The professor of animal sciences says 15-20% of an incoming vet med class have been schooled in the U of I's animal sciences department, and he says 80% of those students have been through the animal handling class. It is no doubt one of the most unique experiences of their young lives. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Time now to check in on what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Matt Bennett joins us on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at that cash grain market. Good afternoon to you and Matt Bennett. Matt Kunisch from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Thanks for being with us today, Matt.
No problem.
And tell me about your area and basis levels, please.
Right now, our area for basis seems to be weakening a little bit. It seems like most of the ethanol plants in western and central Indiana seems to be, pretty much running full for the first half, last half March, first half April. Guys are starting to, look a little more in that last half April, May time period. Still look to get bought up there within the next month, I'm assuming. Quite a few guys attending the meeting yesterday came and sold today, so... but really, on the basis side, it feels weaker for the next month to month and a half. Beans kind of doing the same right now.
You think that was the right decision? That's what they heard yesterday.
To get some risk off the table, I agree with it, depending on how much they had on the table or off the table. I think for most guys, it was probably the right decision, not knowing everybody's,
Right.
What
are your bids for the day?
Right now here at Climbers, we are at $3.49. Delphi beans are going to be at $9.48. And wheat Delphi, $4.24. And then for May, we go out to $3.65 here at Climbers.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
That is Matt Kunisch. He's with the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons. It's located in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Pat Quinn says he's a realist, and that's why he's scaled back his proposal to raise Illinois income taxes. In a brief budget address to lawmakers in Springfield today, Quinn called for an increase of just one percentage point to be used solely for preventing a proposed $1.3 billion cut in education spending. Quinn's budget proposal also calls for cutting spending in other areas by more than $1.7 billion. The governor says the rest of Illinois' record-breaking $13 billion budget deficit should be addressed mostly by borrowing money and letting more unpaid bills pile up. At least one Illinois Senate Republican says the governor's proposed income tax hike won't get his vote without a long-range plan to resolve the deficit first. Dale Ryder of Mattoon says he's not convinced that the Quinn administration has the proper spending in mind for the extra tax revenue. He says it would only cover what the state schools would lose when federal stimulus money runs out. Ryder is calling for a plan to cut spending and improve the state's economic performance over several years. He says it would be impossible to upright a $13 billion deficit in 1 year. A student environmental group at the U of I in Urbana wants the campus power plant to switch from coal to natural gas. Parker Laubeck of Students for Environmental Concerns says using gas would still result in carbon dioxide emissions, but would be a good first step towards other alternative sources. His group proposes that the university spend money budgeted for improvements at the Abbott Power Plant on a conversion to cleaner energy sources instead. Indiana's unemployment rate held at 9.7% for January, as some 327,000 people were looking for work. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this weather forecast. It is really nice out there today.
Yeah, we're seeing a taste of spring across the Midwest, and that's associated with actually a storm system here that's out in the Plains region advancing eastward. Warm air out ahead of it is allowing temperatures to warm up. However, on the backside of that storm system, we will see cooler air filter into the region. So today, warmth continues. That will also be the case into tomorrow. However, that will be associated with also an increase in rain activity. Then the cool air works in over the weekend. But you're talking about temperatures just cooling back down to more normal levels across the Midwest. And at least over the next 10 days or so, there's no sign of any exceptionally cold weather coming in.
Very much rainfall.
We do see waves of rain. The heaviest rainfall looks to be in areas of the far southern portion of the country, Delta and Southeast. And as we get into later on this week, more so Friday and into the start of the weekend, heavier rainfall is expected in portions of the eastern U.S. And included in that is the eastern Midwest. And overall here, just portions of our agriculture zone will see rainfall, but it certainly is not widespread.
You know, the rainfall in the southern part of the United States, the Delta area, it has held producers out of the field to this point. And do you think it'll keep them out of the field? They're getting, I don't know whether I want to call it a slow start yet, but they're thinking they might be delayed a bit.
Yeah, and also along with that delay, the temperatures, due to the unseasonably cold temperatures that have prevailed here into March, and from a precipitation standpoint, we do see more systems tracking across the southern U.S. over the next couple of weeks. And as a result, any kind of early planting here is not going to be rapid across that area. As you just said, Todd, it's too early to call it any kind of significant issue or even call it planting delays right now. But you're not going to get any kind of significant jump start here to the planting season down south.
Yeah, speaking of south, let's go further south to South America. Talk about Brazil and Argentina. They're in the heart of it at this point for harvest season.
Yeah, and there's no issues of note across South America, and that is true for Argentina and Brazil. We see some rain activity, but nothing that would inundate or push back harvest progress across either Argentina or Brazil. That continues to have the good news.
You want to check in on a couple of wheat crops for me as well? Should be one in Ukraine that's coming out of dormancy eventually, and one in India.
Yeah, well, India, they've gone through their yield-sensitive heading stage without any issues, so it looks like good crops out of India. And for Ukraine, the item to watch here is just cold weather across Europe and Western Asia, as in the short term doesn't look like any kind of issue, but as a crop comes out of dormancy later on this month in April, it's something that needs to be watched.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
And that is Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market.